Favorites. It absolutely is. Stanley Turrentine's River's Invitation, released in 1965 on his incredible album Joyride. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And I think we need to put ourselves on a national program of Prozac or something. We need something to revive our spirits, or just to keep us from, you know, jumping off bridges and so forth. It's just really not a good time. And it's getting worse by the day. People are indulging in all kinds of unbelievable behaviors, still trying to convince us that that's what you do when you're in a leadership capacity. You act like a, I don't know, you like a baby. You scream and stomp your feet and you do all kinds of crazy things. You lie like no tomorrow. And I don't think the country has ever been in this state before. Certainly, as a nation, we have encountered all manner of crises, largely having to do with war and warfare and domestic crises, you know, what is happening in terms of the economy, what people are feeling in the area of how they can govern their lives and feel like they're losing ground. We've encountered all these things and dealt with them. But this, it feels permanent for some reason. It doesn't feel like something that can easily be corrected. It doesn't feel like something that, as a nation, we can handle. We're not finding the truth anywhere. We're finding that leaders are just punks looking for an alley fight, playing with the taxpayer money however they want to. And all of the trappings of a criminal organization now have become the signature behaviors of our current administration. And even if Trump were to leave office, it would take a very long time to bring the country to some degree of pride in itself and confidence. It is my sense. I don't know. I may be exaggerating here, but it is my sense that everyone, in one way or the other, has suffered or continues to suffer a crisis of confidence in this country. They don't see it ending, and they don't see on hand the kinds of people who get it and who can help right the ship. And that is a deep loss, a deep sense of loss, because what comes with that is a feeling of being out of control. Okay, so we have individual issues, and we go through our own little rituals of how do we get ourselves back on track. But when we look around, we're not expecting to see a lot of it surrounding us. You know what I mean? You get a sense of hope when you can see, well, I'm going through a really rough time, and I see patches of hope, and I could navigate toward those patches of hope and find some hope for myself. That is not what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that this country is close to the brink of giving up. And as odd as it sounds, there's another part of our country where this is exactly what they want. They want a people who feel defeated so that they can look to them as the leaders, as the providers of hope. We look to substandard, ignorant, unqualified people for the most part, who now occupy the privileged positions in our society as the people we are to trust with the task of bringing us all back to a point of hope. We know that can't happen. We know it's not happening. So what we can do and what we should do is to recalibrate to the extent that we can. We can't begin to fix this. And it is the kind of thing you can't fix because it is so overwhelming. It's now infecting almost all aspects of our lives. Can you trust that your school is doing a good job? No. Can you trust that you have a job yourself that is dealing fairly with you, paying you a fair salary for your work? No. Can you trust that the ideas that you have, you'll be able to tap into resources in our society that we used to routinely tap into? You can get a loan. You can get a business started. And you would be left alone to carve your own way. You don't get that. You don't get that feeling at all. And we see how predatory government has become, mean-spirited and nasty and almost vengeful. It does not want you to succeed at what it is you think you might be able to succeed at. And that is because there has been an arrogation of resources. All the good things in life have been arrogated to all the preferred people in life. And we're not among them. We are observers at best. But all the housing is theirs, the education, even if they are bribing their children into these universities, it's theirs. We have entrepreneurship and real opportunity. It's theirs. Decent housing, it's theirs. And if there is a line, they're first on it. So we have reached that point in society, whether people wish to acknowledge it or not. We are developing deep resentments based on these truths. I mean, we can't deny these things exist. They do. So we have become decidedly class-oriented. And the notion of who deserves things, the good things in life. And we see how that also includes rights and privileges that we didn't see, you know, splashed in our faces like this before. We see it starting with our president. Because your name is Trump and because you have some money, not nearly the kind of money you say you have, you lie about that too. Even though people know you're doing wrong, you and your whole circle are bacteria in this society, infecting a country with your malaise and your wrongheadedness and your meanness of spirit. We know it. But somehow the thinking also is, well, you'll come around. And if you don't, that's your problem. We hear. We are controlling things. And as long as we are controlling things, we are controlling our interests, not yours. We're not here to serve you. You'd be wrong to think that. So you worry about these things and you say, why can't they see how wrong they are? How messed up and convoluted and just plain wrong. This is not the way you govern a country unless you have particular goals in mind. You want to see the country fall apart. You want to see the country reach the point where it clamors for your help. It insists that you must be in charge. That's right. It's a sickness. I've been thinking about this a lot, which is why I've been kind of down quite a bit. And I'm not a pessimistic person. But there has been such an overwhelming deluge of hopelessness, even as they talk about hope, as they talk about bouncing back, all of this stuff. You don't see evidence of that. The president can talk all he wants about how great the economy is. Well, you tell that to the major retailers who are shutting their doors every single day. And small businesses being choked out of business. And people who no longer have a viable reason in their heads, they don't have a viable reason for why they're going to school. What is the point, they ask themselves? Why am I paying up the yin-yang for tuition to get a piece of paper that says I qualify because I have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, and I'll soon go to get my doctorate? And when you look at it, that kind of person would have invested in just getting prepared for a job that does not exist for more than half of his or her life. It used to be, you know, the average working guy can buy a little boat. Come summer, he loads up his kids and his wife, and they put the boat, they hitch the boat to the back of the car, and they're off to some little lake somewhere, and they're going to pitch a tent, and they're going to have fun for 3 or 4 days. Why? Because that was the American way. You can provide that to your family through your own initiative and hard work. That's not the case today. Today, even people with doctorate degrees, people who have been in professions for a long, long time, are battered around with this idea that they can't make it. They've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to prepare themselves for jobs that don't exist. And to be fair, we are expected as the people not to spend too much time looking at life that way, by analyzing things and seeing the flaws in our system. But instead, we are encouraged to engage in mass delusion. And rather than hope being the byproduct of everybody's effort, hope is assigned to a very few. Only they can have hope. They can have hope if they're white, if they have money, if they know people. They can have hope if they have the resources to help them get around the way things normally were done. They can have hope if they see that the government is doing its job by squashing the competition, restricting the economy, making the bottoms fall out, and people just floating around in despair, not knowing what the next move ought to be. That is not a good government by any measure. Good government is getting people excited about waking up in the morning and picking up where they left off in the last chapter that they were preparing. They can have hope if they see their children really progressing in life, and they can see themselves as falling into place, taking dad's responsibilities and mom's responsibilities, and you become the new generation, creating miracles within your own family. And you're not deliriously happy, but you're contented because you're making an investment, your own muscle, your own sweat of your own brow, and you're getting somewhere. Not extravagant by any means, but you're doing all right. And you're making the effort every day to stand on your own two feet and to propel yourself forward. And everybody else is involved in that. And that's what we admire in each other. We admire in each other the values instilled by our parents in us. This is what you're supposed to do. And we live in neighborhoods that are stable, that do not cause you to fear and worry 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether your children or any member of your family is unsafe. And you worry that you can't afford this for too much longer. You see the end of the road coming. And you don't see what else you can do to live, to cover your costs. It's not immediately apparent. You know you'll have to work or do something, but whatever that is, the vision isn't clear. And each day, the anxiety builds in you because what needs to be done in a mass scale is not up to you. And the people who have their hands on the throttle and brake of government, well, they're not you. And they now delight in reminding you that you're not them. So we have come to a very disappointing place in the relationship between the individual and the government. It is not government by the people for the people. It is government despite the people. Government to spite the people. Government that has an attitude that the people are just the wrong kind of people. And so we have to be extra harsh to dwindle their ranks, because they will soon be coming after us. So let's get rid of as many of them as possible. Let's move them out of our way. And let's get on with our shared agenda. That's where things are going. Well, some people would say that's where things have already begun to go. And so, even with trepidation in our hearts, we want to know what's around the corner. What's next? Can we prepare? Can we prepare in time? And each of us walks around with this quiet sense of panic, that we will not be able to accomplish even the smallest things, but things that are important. We will not be able to save even a little wad of cash. We will not be able and we should not get too friendly with people, because it is certain that we will be called upon to help them, and we can't help them. We have to save our resources for ourselves. That's where we are, whether people choose to acknowledge it or not. And so, we should be in introspective mode, but not one that again returns the blame to us. We can't do that and survive. We have to see these systems clearly for what they do, how they work, what calamities they cause in our lives, and we are not responsible for that. Wake up one morning and we get to know that the tax structure has just changed. Again, what is the exact same thing as the last time is that we have to bear the brunt, the burden of it. They're buying yachts, and they are making arrangements for 4 generations or 5 generations ahead to be taken care of financially, no matter how incompetent they are, how ill-prepared they are. They are safe. And we are here unable to tell the difference between wealth and salaries. We think now that what we earn is our wealth. That isn't wealth. Wealth is not what you earn. Wealth is all about what you own. And how it can be used in all those various ways to generate revenue for you. Fair or not, that's the reality we live with. So I'm going to ask you to be philosophical today as you look for clues about how you think you're doing. Not to tell us the good story, because there are not that many good stories. I know that for a fact. I know we are deluding ourselves. I know we are in a position that makes us so fearful that what we need to do, we cannot do because we won't have the resources to do it. It's a scary place to live. So, as you see it, just give us we don't need to get into your business now. We don't need to get all deep into your life. But have you considered your capacity to anticipate monumental things going wrong, but that you could survive it? If you're comfortable and you're fairly sure that you could weather the storm, tell us how you arrived at that point. Because it's a very important point. It's a great weapon to have in your arsenal of survival. How did you do that? What made you do that? And how can we use your template to get us sort of steady, so that we don't spend an inordinate portion of the day worrying about basic things and whether we can pull through and whether this system is going to be around for many decades in the future. Or do you see change coming? Do you see an improvement in our standard of living? What would that be? How is it to be done? How do we prepare? We'll take a break. I know it sounds very down, but it really isn't. It's simply that we're decelerating for the day today, and we're dealing with a sober issue in everybody's life. Nobody is exempted here. Everybody, in one way or the other, is quietly dealing with this and afraid to put in place for ourselves, to make the conscious effort to begin to put in place strategies for our survival. So right after this break, we come back at 888-874-4888, and we talk about this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Yatrice Lead, and we're kind of getting a little introspective and philosophical today about, excuse me, about how are we dealing in isolation with these issues that literally control every day of our lives. How well do we think we're doing? And what are our private fears as we go along in life, and especially in this time? What are we doing to keep ourselves sane and safe? But before we get to your calls, I want to remind you that we have little time left for our assignation with each other on Sunday, May the 26th at the Community Church in Manhattan between Park Avenue and Madison Avenue. That's at 40 East 35th Street. I've been invited by the Global Affairs Committee of the church to return. I was there last year, and we had such an incredible bonding going on. Great vibes, meeting each other, talking to each other. And that's what I hope to do as well on Sunday, because we have to start growing our own answers. We have to start forming communities and teaching each other what we know. And somehow in fellowship, we'll be improved. We'll be better off knowing that we're not alone. All right, so on Sunday, I'm looking forward to it. You have no idea. I'm all pumped. And I'm looking to see your face, to introduce yourself, to each other, and to begin forming community. That is what I'm all about. We form a community which is a source of help. All right. Ed from Queens, you start us off today.
Yeah, good afternoon, Utrice. How are you feeling today? Okay, thank you,
Okay,
Ed.
thank you, Ed. I'm also looking forward to Sunday. I've saved the date, and hopefully you like the connection of the voice with the face.
I'm sure I will. I'm sure I will.
Be that as it may, I share your view. I mean, on a personal level, I've been through trials and tribulations in life, and by the grace of a higher power and by my own self-will, I've come through them. But this time in this country, I don't feel that overwhelming optimism anymore. I mean, I think we're at a point of total, what I call total saturation corruption. I mean, on every level. I don't think there's a good one in any of them, political, economic, socially. I think the corruption in this country has just reached a saturation point, and we're at a breaking point now. And as far as prevailing through it, I mean, as far as my personal experience, I just do what's in front of me. I try to do the next right thing. I try to involve myself around positive people and try to keep the attitude that no matter what, you know, life will prevail. And sometimes that's a little bit Pollyannish, but sometimes you need that just to get through this. But I share your view. I mean, it's a very depressing time in this country where leadership on all levels, economic, political, spiritual, just seem to be totally compromised. And no one is stepping to the plate. No one is stepping to the hold these people under any type of accountability. And like I always say, a fish stinks from the head down. And something's got to give. I just hope, you know, it's not as tragic as I imagine it will be. That's pretty much it.
Well, how do you think it is possible that we can save ourselves?
Well, I always have hope. You know, I always think there'll be a certain component of the population that will rise. I mean, if you look at it historically, it's always a critical mass. It's never been the whole population that rises to the occasion. Even though we're in some real desperate times right now, I think there is hope, but I believe that it's going to be a lot of pain before there's any light.
What do you say? What would you say is your most effective weapon?
Optimism.
Optimism.
Optimism. That's about the best I can give. I mean, you know, there's always a silver lining. That's been my experience personally. It is always darkest before the dawn. I always look for the silver lining, even though people say I'm a little bit of a pessimist. But it's been my experience that when you think it's up, it's never up. So that's pretty much it. That's the best I can give you from my personal experience.
Well, it's a pretty good best. Very good best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. And I hope to see you Sunday, as you said. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Sister Eutrice. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. It doesn't help any, none whatsoever. I think you just have to be at this stage of the game when you get a certain age and you achieve certain things to be content. Like, I'm at the point where I'm content. I'm not chasing the dollar. All I'm trying to do now is just educate young people in the direction that they should try and go with their lives. And sitting back and watching the shenanigans of this society and the madness and the sickness to which it has evolved to. I mean, that to me is the most disappointing thing at this time for me, is to witness this whole farce that's going on with this clown in the White House. It's embarrassing. It's sad. And it shows the sickness of the people who lead this country. Because it's no way, I believe, that you evolve in a country to have what we're witnessing now play out. It's just not logical. It's not rational. It's not something that one in a modern society should really expect to witness. I mean, to supposedly be the greatest country in the world, have such a inept, narcissistic idiot at the head of it, even though he's a puppet. Let's be clear about that. There's others that run it and really dictate and control it. To just have to be in this position to where, as your children's chances of moving forward is not as good as they was when I was coming up. I mean, I don't think a lot of people understand the progression, honestly, that black people have made in this country from Jim Crow to present. And unfortunately, we're going backwards. And that's the tragedy. And the sickness is that we are placing our kids in so much debt that the quality of their lives will never be what the quality of my life was coming up. Now, one would think it would be because of the so-called opportunities, which if you really look at it, the opportunities are not really there like it was when I was coming up. The amount of personal wealth, some is there, but collectively,
are you there? Jay? I think we've lost Jay. Okay. Yes, I got that note. The engineer says that your call dropped off. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hello, David.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You know, I think this is a very important question you're bringing up. And as I look at it, the first thing that the people of this place have to understand is how the system that they're in works. This is the most predatory capitalist system in this country, I think, if anywhere in the world. And they have to understand the game that's being played. And the game works like this. The people are allowed to have their eyes open, but their brains have to be in some kind of rest-type position, because that's the only way that the ruling class, those are the people that really run the place, can maintain this type of society that does not benefit the masses of people who live here, is by keeping the brain in a sort of rest position, the eyes wide open, and diverting attention from all the things that they're doing to benefit the lives of the ruling class and their minions in this country and all over the world, and divert the attention of the people to other things. Give them circus. Give them sports, games, and have them fighting. Divide them as many ways as you can to divide people. And that's the problem. People have to understand the game that is going on in this country and throughout the world. And it is not a game that is designed to benefit the people here or anywhere else in the world. It's a game that's designed to benefit the ruling class, the rich and the powerful, and the corporations that they control, and to benefit them, not the people. So that's one of the first steps that people need to do, is to educate themselves. Now, by education, I don't mean just schooling. I mean empowerment, because you're not going to get the fox who runs the school to tell the chickens what he has in mind. And the ruling class controls the schools, private and public, all over, and the colleges, all over. So you got to do some research on your own. The information is out there, but most people don't do it on their own. They go with the curriculum, wherever the institution they are serving them, to keep the status quo. And the status quo is here to enrich the ruling class and impoverish the mass of the people, keep them poor at the expense of the poor people, and to enrich the rich. And that's exactly what is happening today. So it's a matter of the people waking up, getting their brains put into on position, and understanding the system that they have here. And most people are not able to do it. They fall for the okey-doke, and they go along with the system and support the very people who are worst enemies. And that's what we have. We see that all over with the poor little white people supporting oligarchs and so forth. And black people not understanding that the Democratic Party is not your savior and not your friend. And people not understanding that all the levels of government are compromised and controlled by the ruling class. So that, to me, is the first step that people have to take to get going what they need to do. In the meanwhile, you have to have some survival activities just to make it. And this system doesn't care anything about you making it, so you're on your own. The social system is not adequate, and there's nothing that is really done to ensure that the majority of people live here have a quality of life that is good. We're in endless wars all over the world. We're exploiting people all over the world. And we're doing whatever is necessary, that is, the ruling class is doing whatever is necessary to enrich themselves at the expense of other people here and abroad.
Well, in a nutshell, you have just given us our first lesson. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing that today. And I'll see you on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. Vincent from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Vincent. Like to... How are you?
I'm fine. I'm hanging in there just like you are.
Yeah, and that's right. And we both are disappointing a lot of people.
Well, I want to say what David has just said was pretty much right on point. It needs to be heard. It's too late in the hour to expound on it, and I didn't hear your initial question because I wasn't able to catch most of the program, but I like what he has said and Jay has said. I still have a lot of faith on what the future holds. Some people must understand that what they see going on in society and this world today, they shouldn't let them feel that they should not feel depressed about what the future might hold, because they can't think, in a way, in my opinion, that things will be positive only if they're in the future themselves. Maybe some of us will not have to be around in order for things to be positive for the next generation coming up behind us. That's part of the problem. Some people think, well, I can't see, meaning themselves, how things could get any better from how bad things are right now, because they don't see themselves in the picture as it is positive. But some of us might not have to be around for the next generation for things to be positive. So we must enlighten those who are coming up behind us and let them know we have the courage to tell them the truth as we see it in the things that we've experienced in the past and what they are going through right now.
So Vincent, let me ask you, you're getting close with time, but yes. I must ask you, what in your own mind is the single most important thing you can contribute?
My life experiences and my outlook on the future for those who are coming up behind me, and the support that I can give to those who gave to me, who are still alive, who were here before me.
Mm. Do you lean on that every day? Does it help you get through on an everyday basis? It keeps you going. It settles you. It stabilizes you.
Pretty much that's in part, if not mainly, what keeps me going, among other things that I won't mention.
Okay.
But there are some things, you know, it is just make me so happy and delighted among the serious things and issues that I must deal with every day that keep me going. It's a combination. But yes, those type of things.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping I see you on Sunday at the community church and we can get to talk a little bit more, not just to each other, but to other people as well. We're really trying to just get a community going. And it's free, by the way. So another incentive for you to come and share your ideas. Thanks for your call today, Vincent.
You're very welcome.
Matt, you're going to close us off today, but
yes,
not much time available to you, I'm afraid.
Yes, and please take my call tomorrow because I have to weigh in on your brilliant talks earlier in the week. But as to the question today, and I need to expand further on this, I love the comments of the previous brother, but my effort is, let's see how I can quickly put this, is everyone has one. And that's how, like the banner of a seminar I'm looking to do at the NIAPRIS conference in September, and it's everyone has one invention / new product. So I'm a baby boomer, you know, but I have never got myself organized where I have gotten out my new products and innovations, and some of them of a non-commercial nature, and for the larger aspect of humanity. I for those of us who can't physically be there, we love your coming, but please give us some audio/video with this new technology so we can get the message. But I'm also setting up an innovation circle, which has been very difficult because we are so disconnected as a community. But I hope to be able to reach out to this community at some point and you know, get some of this community involved in my innovation circle.
Well, thank you for that info. And you just closed out the program for today. Excellent timing. And that brings us to the end of the program today. I thank you so much for offering these pearls of wisdom that we should listen more deeply to and find out what we can use, because we have to survive. And if you have an answer or part of an answer, we should be paying attention because we need it. We see where things are going. And it's one of the sayings, when one country has a cough, other countries have a roasting fever. So we have to learn how to listen to each other and see what we can glean from the experiences, because the one advantage is we don't have to suffer the pain over and over and over and over again. Those people who have gone through very challenging times in their lives have so much to offer, and we just need to pay attention. We just need to pay attention. Well, tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday. Let's do some more talking. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.